Let us pray. Forgive us, Lord, for our failure to love you with all our heart, mind, and soul, and our neighbors as ourselves. Forgive us as we forgive those who sin against us. Have mercy on us, O Lord, even as we place our hope in you. Amen. Almighty God, merciful Father, in holy baptism you declare us to be your children and gathered us into your one holy church, in which you daily and richly forgive us our sins and grant us new life through your Spirit. Be in our midst, enliven our faith, and graciously receive our prayer and praise through your Son, our Lord, Jesus Christ. Amen. Reading from the Passion of our Lord. When they had bound Jesus, they led him from Caiaphas to the Hall of Judgment and gave him over to Pontius Pilate, the governor. It was early. They themselves did not go into the judgment hall so that they might not be defiled, but might eat the Passover. Pilate then went out to them and said, "What charge do you bring against this man?" They answered and said to him, "If he were not a criminal, we would not have handed him over to you." And Pilate said to them, "Take him then and judge him according to your law." The Jews said to him, "It is not lawful for us to put any man to death." So the word of Jesus was fulfilled, signifying by what death he should die. The charges they brought against him were, "We found this fellow perverting the nation and forbidding us to pay taxes to Caesar and saying that he himself is Christ, a king." Then Pilate entered into the judgment hall again and called Jesus and said to him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" Jesus answered him, "Do you say this for yourself, or did others say it to you about me?" Pilate answered, "Do you take me for a Jew? Your own nation and the chief priests have given you over to me. What have you done?" Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then my servants would have fought that I should not be given over to the Jews. But now my kingdom is not of this world. Pilate therefore said to him, Are you a king then? Jesus answered, You say rightly that I am a king. I was born and I came into the world that I should bear witness to the truth. Everyone that is of the truth hears my voice. Pilate said to him, What is truth? After he had said this, he went out again to the Jews and said to them, I find no fault in this man. The chief priests kept laying one charge after another against him, but he answered not a word. Pilate questioned him again, saying, Do you answer nothing? See how many charges they lay against you? Jesus answered him not a word. Pilate was utterly amazed. He said to the chief priests in the crowd, I find no case against this man. They pressed their charges more vehemently. He stirs up the people, teaching throughout all Judea, beginning from Galilee to this place. When Pilate heard of Galilee, he asked whether the man was a Galilean. When he learned that he belonged in Herod's jurisdiction, he sent him on to Herod, who was also in Jerusalem for those days. When Herod saw Jesus, he was delighted, for he had long wished to see him because of what he had heard of him, and he hoped to see him do a miracle. He questioned Jesus repeatedly, but he gave him no answer. The chief priests and scribes stood there and vehemently accused him. Herod and his soldiers mocked him. They put a splendid robe on him and sent him back to Pilate. Herod and Pilate became friends with each other that same day, for before this they had been at enmity with each other. Pilate then called together the chief priests and the rulers and the people and said to them, You have brought this man before me as one subverting the people. See, now I have examined him before you and have found nothing in this man guilty of any of your charges against him, and neither did Herod, for he sent him back to us. Mark this, he has done nothing worthy of death. I will have him punished and release him. Now at the feast it was the governor's custom to release to the crowd any one prisoner whom they asked for. They had then a notorious prisoner named Barabbas. He was in prison with the rebels who had committed murder during the insurrection in the city. Pilate knew that it was out of malice that the chief priests handed Jesus over. Therefore he said to them, Do you want me to release for you Barabbas or Jesus, who is called Christ? The chief priests and elders persuaded the crowd to ask for Barabbas and destroy Jesus. Pilate asked them again, Which of the two do you want me to release for you? And they cried out all together, saying, Away with this man, and release for us Barabbas. While Pilate was sitting in the judgment seat, his wife sent him a message. Do not have anything to do with that man. I have suffered much over him today in a dream. Again Pilate addressed them, for he wished to release Jesus. He said to them, What shall I do then with Jesus, who is called Christ? What shall I do with him whom you call the King of the Jews? They all cried out, Crucify him. Pilate said to them, Why? What evil has he done? I have found no guilt worthy of death in him. I will therefore punish him and let him go. They cried out all the louder, Crucify him! Crucify him! Then Pilate took Jesus and had him flogged. The soldiers of the governor led him away to the praetorium. They gathered the whole band of soldiers around him. They stripped him and put a purple robe on him. When they had woven a crown of thorns, they put it on his head and a reed in his right hand, and they knelt before him and mocked him, saying, Hail, King of the Jews! They spat on him and took the reed and struck him on the head. They knelt down and did him homage. Pilate went out again and said to them, See, I bring him out to you, that you may know that I find him not guilty. So Jesus came out wearing the crown of thorns and the purple robe. Pilate said to them, Behold, the man. When the chief priests and officers saw him, they cried, Crucify him! Crucify him! Pilate said to them, Take him yourselves and crucify him, for I do not find him guilty. The Jews answered him, We have a law, and by that law he ought to die, because he made himself the Son of God. When Pilate heard this, he was more afraid and went again into the judgment hall and said to Jesus, Where are you from? Jesus gave him no answer. And Pilate said to him, Do you refuse to speak to me? Do you not know that I have power to crucify you and I have power to release you? Jesus answered, You would not have any power at all over me unless it had been given you from above. For that reason, he who handed me over to you has the greater sin. This prompted Pilate to go on trying to release him, but the Jews cried out, If you let this man go, you are no friend of Caesar. Everyone who makes himself a king sets himself against Caesar. When Pilate heard these words, he brought Jesus out and sat down in the judgment seat, in a place that is called the pavement, or in Hebrew, Gabbatha. It was the preparation of the Passover, about the sixth hour. He said to the Jews, "Behold, your king." They cried out, "Away with him! Away with him! Crucify him!" Pilate said to them, "Shall I crucify your king?" The chief priests answered, "We have no king but Caesar." When Pilate saw that he was getting nowhere, but rather a riot was underway, he took water and washed his hands before the crowd, saying, "I am innocent of the blood of this man. See to it yourselves." Then all the people responded, "His blood be on us and on our children." And Pilate, wishing to satisfy the crowd, gave sentence that it should be as they demanded. He released to them Barabbas, for whom they asked, the man who had been thrown into prison for insurrection and murder. He had Jesus flogged, and then gave him over to their will to be crucified. The soldiers mocked him, stripped him of the purple robe, put his own clothes on him, and led him out to crucify him. Here ends the reading. Throughout the Lenten season, we have been having testimonies by the confirmands. This afternoon, we'll hear from Carter Wagner.
Hi, my name is Carter Wagner, and the reason I became a Christian is because my mom and dad are also both Christian. God has affected my life in many ways. The first way God has affected my life is by giving me a loving mom, dad, brother, sister, and family. The second way God has positively affected me is by providing me with a great life, with a house, food on the table, and clothes on my back. God continues to work on my life by giving me the opportunity to go to church and learn more about Him and His works. God has used my mom, dad, and my grandparents to help me teach me in His ways. God helps me in the future because my family sends me to a good school and I can get good education so I can make good choices in my future. My special experience that helped me bring me closer to God is when my brother and sister were born. They were born very premature. They were so small that you could fit a ring around their foot. God helped them survive be healthy and heal. God will help me live a holy life in the future by motivating me to go to church every Sunday. He will also forgive me for everything that I've done wrong and that I will do wrong for the sake of Jesus. God will guide me when I get older by leading me down the right path. I will continue to grow as a Christian and continue to do my best to make Him proud.
Thank you. So to begin today, while we did chant some verses out of Psalm 102 earlier, I would like to read a couple more that I kind of concentrated on for this sermon. So, I am like a desert owl of the wilderness, like an owl of the waste place. I lie awake, I am like a lonely sparrow on the housetop. So I want to paint a picture of you all tonight. Imagine you are on your own in the middle of a big empty space. You cannot see anything or anybody for miles. You feel that you have been abandoned and left alone with your own thoughts. Nothing feels right. You are scared and lonely. You can feel the weight of all your sins and failures weighing you down. You are lost in a void with no one around you. Now, while I hope it has never gone to the extreme that I just described, I am sure that we have all felt alone and abandoned at some point in our lives. We think that nobody likes us and that we are alone in this world. Sometimes we feel alone, but we don't quite know why. The writer of today's psalm was feeling this way as he was writing this lament. He felt cut off from the rest of the world, or as he put it, an owl of the waste places. While we might not always understand why we feel alone, the author of Psalm 102 knew exactly why he felt cut off. It was God's anger and wrath against the sins the author had committed. The author knew that if he wanted to truly feel connected again, he needed to be reconciled with God. Tonight, I want to talk about how both God's law and gospel affect our relationship with Him. And while our sins try to hold us down and keep us away from God, He is still with us and forgives us all our sins through the work of His Son, Jesus Christ. The thing that separated the author from God and from other people is the same thing that separates us today from God and from each other. Our sin is what keeps us beaten down and feeling like we are all alone in this world. Sin tells us that all the people around us don't like us, and that even God Himself is against us because of what we have done. When we read the law of God, the situation only gets worse. God's law show us just how far separated we truly are from God and from other people. We, as sinful human beings, are trapped under the weight of God's law. As human beings, our sinful nature will always stand in our way and hold us back from being able to live the lives that God commands us to live. We can never get out from under the crushing weight of the sins that we have committed through our own abilities. It is not through anything that we do that we are reconnected to God as His children. To truly feel connected to God, we are called to confess our sins and repent of them before God. When we repent of our sins that have been holding us down and confess them, God forgives us for what we have done. Even though we are called to repent of and confess our sins, it is not because of anything that we do that God forgives us of our sins. God does all the work of reconnecting us to Him. We can never connect ourselves to God. Even though it seems like we are doing something when we confess our sins and seek absolution, it is only through God's power and grace that we are connected to Him and are able to worship Him and live the lives that He commanded us to live. Confession and absolution of our sins is the way that God reconnects us to Him. When we admit that we have sinned and beg God to forgive us, God lifts the weight of our sin off of our shoulders. Even though we sin without ceasing, God still forgives us every time and shows us endless love and grace. He does this because of what His Son, Jesus Christ, did for us, namely suffering and dying on the cross and rising again. All the sins that attempt to separate us from God and other people and make us think we are alone, God takes those sins and casts them away. He assures us that we are truly forgiven of all the bad things that we have done. Nothing can truly separate us from God and His love for us, not even our own sins and guilt. Even the deepest, most ingrained sin that continually haunts us over and over is not more powerful than the love that God has for us through His Son, Jesus Christ. We are tied to God at our baptism. When we repent of our sins, God brings us back to the healing and connective waters of our baptism. He reminds us that we are His children and He loves us no matter what we do. We are given new life in Him when we repent of our sins and ask for His forgiveness. So we should all rejoice. We are not alone. We are not, as the author of Psalm 102 says, owls in the waste places or a lonely God, who are forgiven of all our sins because of what happened on Easter morning. Sin is no match for the power and grace of God, who laid the foundations of the earth and who sent his Son to take our place on the cross. It is important that we always remember and give thanks to God for the fact that we are not alone. God loves us and is with us no matter how alone we may feel. If we repent of our sins, we will be forgiven. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, amen. Please rise. We continue our worship for reciting the Apostles' Creed found in the back cover of your hymnal. I believe.
Let us pray. Almighty God, you set the solitary in families. Look upon us when we feel alone. Embrace us with your love, that we may know your abiding presence. Help us to see your love and care in the communion of the saints and the company of the angels. Lord, in your mercy. O Lord, do not forsake your people who cry to you in their distress and tribulation. For the glory of your name, be pleased to help and deliver us. Lord, in your mercy.
Amen.
O God, you see that of ourselves we have no strength. By your mighty power, defend us from all adversities that may happen to the body, and from all evil thoughts that may assault and hurt the soul. Lord, in your mercy.
Amen.
Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Let us pray. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, your mercies are new every morning. And though we deserve only punishment, you receive us as your children and provide for all our needs of body and soul. Grant that we may heartily acknowledge your merciful goodness, give thanks for all your benefits, and serve you in willing obedience. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. The Almighty and merciful Lord, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, bless and preserve you. Amen.